Welcome to Christian Medical and Dental Association's chapel. We trust this message will encourage your walk with the Lord.
Okay, this morning we're going to talk about knowledge, understanding, and wisdom. I've been reading through the Bible in a year, and right now we're in what's called the wisdom literature. And so I kept hearing all these different words, and discernment is also in there as well. And I was like, how does that fit? Why are they using so many different words that to me kind of seemed the same at first? And I had some questions, so I just started kind of reading about wisdom, knowledge, understanding. Discernment kind of went under the umbrella of understanding. But so looking at wisdom literature in the Bible, it's basically three main books: Proverbs, Job, and Ecclesiastes. There are others that use a lot of the techniques they use in wisdom literature, and some even the apostles would use that when they were speaking. But it is a poetic form or structure, yet it doesn't really seem to have any rhyme by meter or sound. So a bishop, Robert Loth, back in 1753, figured out that Hebrew poetry rhymed in thought and in parallel patterns, which I thought was very interesting. So it's structured into different forms. It can be in the form of a proverb, riddle, allegory, hymn, disputation, autobiographical or didactic narrative, and just lists. But I found that so interesting that he would think through that and figure that out, notice that thoughts were rhyming. Anyway, so if you kind of get the basics of these definitions, knowledge is really just acquiring facts. So a lot of us have a lot of knowledge, but understanding is ability to take those facts and discern what they mean. And then wisdom is thought of as knowing how to apply your knowledge and understanding. So think about that in healthcare. We've learned, spend the first 2 years just learning fact after fact after fact. I mean, it just drives you crazy. But then as you get into actually applying it, you start to figure out what they mean, how you put those together and what they can mean. And then when you actually start seeing patients, then you figure out how to apply those to your patient. So a lot of life can be that way. So we spend a lot of our time, especially younger years, acquiring knowledge. So knowledge can cover a wide range of meanings. So it doesn't just mean intellectual or just a list of facts that we all have in our head, but it can be understanding, it can be personal experiences, it can be emotional. So I never really thought of knowledge as an emotion. It seems like love and logic don't necessarily mix, but apparently they do. And also, it can be applied to our personal relationships, including intimacy, a knowledge of that. So if we want to start looking, and I just looked up the word knowledge in the back of my dictionary and started looking through some of the scriptures, the very first one, it starts as early as Genesis, of course, and in Genesis 2:9. God created the Garden of Eden and every tree that grew out of it, including the tree of knowledge of good and evil. So Genesis 2, we start hearing about knowledge. And then in 1 Samuel 2:3, B says, for the Lord is a God of knowledge. So our God has a whole lot of knowledge. And then in Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. And I pondered that for a little bit. Wow. So the fear of the Lord starts our knowledge. Clearly, not entirely, because there's lots of secular people out there that have a whole lot of knowledge, are very smart, and I would say a lot of them seem wise. So it's like, how can that be? Well, we'll look at, I dug into it a little more. It's just, to me, it's just interesting when you start looking at something like that. So is knowledge equal to wisdom? That was my question, because I've always thought, or is it simply knowledge and then life happens? So you just add experience after experience, because always you think of the older people as the ones that have wisdom. So is that just simply what we've learned and then over the years of applying it? And I don't think that's actually the answer either. So if we're going to look at knowledge, and it's starting with reverence or fear of the Lord, so it's a submissive fear with a foundation, which is a foundation for wisdom. So someone has to teach us about God, right? Someone's the teacher. But then here we start with learning about God. And then we learn to fear God. So then we fear God or have reverence for him. And then the more we do that, the more we know God and we have this relationship with him. And then we progress to imitating God's wisdom, which then will lead us into teaching about God to someone else. So it's interesting to think about how all this knowledge will tie together with our spiritual life. So if you look at Proverbs 2:1-12, it says, we must pursue wisdom, joy as we discover new things in Scripture. So we must pursue wisdom. So is that something we can all attain? Can any education level, any IQ level become wise? And we won't if we don't pursue it, if we don't pursue being wise. And I think that's probably part of why I started thinking about it was like, well, I want to be wise. I want people to think I'm wise, you know? So then I started thinking, well, how will I do that? But when we do that, when we pursue wisdom and we read our Bible and really read through that and we discover the joy of learning new things, like that aha moment when, like, you've read something 10 times, but all of a sudden it means more to you. What truly is a blessing in that is just the nearness of God, in that you have this aha moment, this connection with Him, and just that blessing of knowing Him. So it kind of encourages you to keep doing that, which is why I love to dig into Scripture. But I will give you a word of caution as well. Proverbs 24:5. A wise man is strong, and a man of knowledge increases power. So we do feel like, well, there is that Christian perspective of just being a little bit better than someone else because we know more about God, we've become closer, so you have this kind of sense of God probably loves me a little more because I've sought Him, which is a caution. So we can ask ourselves this: how did the Pharisees handle their knowledge? Was their knowledge helpful for them or a hindrance to them? Paul in Romans 10:2 has an answer for this. He says, "For I testify about them," speaking of the Pharisees, "that they have a zeal for God, but not in accordance with knowledge. For not knowing about God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own, they did not subject themselves to the righteousness of God." So it's interesting to think about that the knowledge the Pharisees had really were a hindrance more than a help for them. And in 1 Corinthians 8:1, it says, "Knowledge makes arrogant, but love edifies." So again, we're tying in knowledge and the emotional component to our knowledge. If we just act all like we know everything and, you know, spout off Scripture when someone has a problem, like that's going to help fix it, but we don't really love them or show care for them, that's a hindrance to our witness, to the way we can reach people. Ephesians 3:19 says, "And to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God." So knowledge can definitely be a hindrance to our faith journey, which I found really interesting. I would never have thought that if I hadn't really sat to study this. So here's another question for us. Sure, we can accrue knowledge, but can we truly become wise without Christ? Is our faith an essential component to wisdom? I'm sure the secular world would say no, and I'm sure lots of them think they're wise. But if we look at the foundation of our faith, and eternal life, the wisest secular person is really not very wise at all if they're willing to just sacrifice eternity with Christ. And not even that, but a lot of them would refuse to even consider it or even look at it. You know, there are Christians saying, without Jesus, you're not going to spend eternity with God. Yet they won't even consider researching it or figuring it out or trying to study it on their own, which I've always found interesting. So knowledge of God is the greatest knowledge of all. In the Old Testament, they knew God by what He had done for them, like the physical things He did, parting the Red Sea or helping them get out, or a burning bush, or coming to Hagar in her time of need. They saw what He did for them. But in the New Testament, they knew God more by the knowledge of Jesus Christ Himself. So Paul has linked knowledge and faith. In 2 Corinthians 13:14, it says, "But having the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believe, therefore I spoke. We also believe, therefore we also speak, knowing that He who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and will present us with you." So that really is such an important, the most important thing we need to know. So now we're getting somewhere in this quest for wisdom. So wisdom, biblically, if you kind of look at it, we'll consider three main things. And one is the art of learning to succeed in life. And it's kind of true that the more successful one person is, you think, wow, they really have some wisdom. You know, they've figured it out. And two is a philosophical study of the experience of life. What is the meaning of life? What is my purpose? Those sorts of things. And three, the real essence of wisdom is spiritual. So real wisdom is the fear of God. Let me backtrack to Proverbs 2:2-12. Okay, it says in Proverbs 2, "Make your ear attentive to wisdom incline your heart to understanding. For if you cry for discernment, lift your voice for understanding. If you seek her as silver and search for her as a hidden treasures, then you will discern the fear of the Lord and discover the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk in integrity, guarding the paths of justice. And he preserves the way of his godly ones. Then you will discern righteousness and justice, and equity and every good course. For wisdom will enter your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will guard you, understanding will watch over you to deliver you from the way of evil. So God is fully willing to supply us knowledge and wisdom, but in a way that makes it healthy for us and helps us to avoid sin and sinful life. But again, Paul linked it, again, with faith in Corinthians, and we talked about the three main wisdoms biblically, but real wisdom is the fear of God. So biblical wisdom, like our culture, emphasizes the success and well-being of the individual. And it includes topics such as knowledge, justice, virtue, family, and faith. I'm going to read this list again and ask you a question. Knowledge, justice, virtue, family, and faith. And let's consider that in light of our culture today. Has our culture distorted these truths that are found in Scripture? I've heard every one of these words. Knowledge, or the pursuit of knowledge or education and level of degrees is so highly sought after and almost worshipped, especially in the educational systems. My gosh, the more degrees and more letters you have after your name, the better you are, the more wise you are. Justice, we're really starting to see some problems with that in our country. Virtue, I mean, both sides are trying to push their own virtues. And now there's, of course, the old personal virtue, whatever you feel like is right kind of thing. Family, we've decided that two moms or two dads or whatever mixture of family want is okay in the secular world. So I think pursuing wisdom is something we really need to consider. I think it's going to be important. When you think about, are we in the end times? Are the end times coming? Where in that is rapture? All these sorts of things that we really should seriously think about. We should pursue wisdom and helping us face this. My Sunday school or small group talked about this. We had a picnic this weekend. We had a light topic of, you know, the rapture and end times. And I think it all started with the digital currency, which is the new push for digital currency, which sounds just like one world currency. Talking about China and how with facial recognition, they are socially tracking every member of their society. And they're tracking not just to see, you know, COVID-wise, which I think it started, but now, is that person going to a church? Are they considered a Christian? They're really watching socially, and I think it's not going to be far from coming to us, too. We already know, they know exactly what we're looking at. So we have to think about these things, I think, and be prepared, have a plan for how we want to handle it, which I think is really staying in the Word and really pursuing Christ. And you think about all the issues that have come up. I think eventually it's going to come to a point where we're going to have to choose our battles. We can stand for the unborn, and we can stand for traditional marriage, but at some point, we're going to have to choose our battles. And I want to talk about that for a second. Biblical wisdom. So there's the biblical wisdom that we have seen, besides the fear of God, is wisdom is mentioned in skills or capabilities, like people that were good with woodworking or wood carving, or people that are good with metal, like when they built the sanctuaries and all the instruments and all of that. Good with fabrics and sewing, all the linens and those sorts of things. There is also wisdom in prudence or living a good, wholesome life, but also wisdom that belongs to God alone. I think we can acknowledge very easily that God is so much more knowledgeable than we are. Like, we can't even understand, we can't begin to comprehend what God can. And I'm totally fine with that, but there are people that will not believe because, my gosh, I need to see it written down, I need facts, I need to be able to touch it myself kind of thing. So in 1 Corinthians 1, 20, 25, Paul points out the highest wisdom of all. Where is the wise man? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age. Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not come to know God, God was well pleased through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. For indeed, Jews ask for signs and Greeks search for wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified. To Jews, a stumbling block, and to Gentiles, foolishness. But to those who are the called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. I think in the end, it's going to come down to when we get frustrated with our culture and our society, Christ crucified. You can argue all these other things, but in the end, Christ crucified is going to be our final endpoint, that we need to make sure we're the salt, we're the light, in all this world of darkness, which just seems to be getting darker and darker when I look at it, Christ crucified. That's what we need to remember. That's all I have on knowledge and wisdom, but I thought it was interesting when you start digging into it. All right, let me pray for us and we'll go. Father, thank you so much for this day and the chance to get to know you a little more. I pray for knowledge, wisdom, and understanding for all of us, Lord. I pray that as we walk through the next few years in our culture, that we can stand out as a light, be the salt for you, Lord. I pray that you would give us the wisdom to do that. And in the end, help us to make sure we announce and promote that you are our sovereign God, and Jesus was crucified so that we could spend eternity with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.